Welcome to another Murray Claims podcast. I'm Peter Brash of Murray Claims and Grigger & Young. I'm a partner in Grigger & Young, which is a firm of solicitors in Elgin and Forres, Murray. Murray Claims is the trading name of Grigger & Young for personal injury claims. I'm accredited by the Law Society of Scotland as a specialist in personal injury law. Grigger & Young has been around for nearly 200 years, and we have scrapbooks of press cuttings featuring elements of the firm's work going back to the late 19th century. One of these is for the Elgin Courant of 30th March 1909. It's an advertisement. Manure sale. Offers wanted for 66 and 1/8 cubic yards of manure in park at North College, lately tenanted by Alexander Nicholson, contractor, and belonging to his creditors. Sealed offers to be lodged on or before Saturday, 3rd instant, with Robert Young, 1 North Street, Elgin, trustee. As trustee, Robert Young was putting this quantity of dung, located in central Elgin, on the market because of poor Mr. Nicholson's financial circumstances. Mr. Nicholson had probably gone bankrupt. 66 cubic yards is about 50,000 litres, I think, so that might be enough manure to fill a small swimming pool. Mr. Nicholson arguably found himself in the manure in more ways than one, given his financial position. Injuries due to slips on ice are one way you can find yourself in an awkward situation as well, and in this edition of the podcast, we're going to consider claims for compensation arising from slips in icy or wintry conditions. This is a type of inquiry which always increases for personal injury solicitors during the winter months. Whenever there's a sudden and severe period of snow and ice, you just know that some unfortunate person is out there slipping and falling and going to accident and emergency. We'll consider briefly what types of claim we're not looking at here. Those will be saved for another episode. We'll then go on to consider the main type of accident for us to discuss today, slips on ice or snow in the street. In particular, we will have a look at what are the general prospects of success with such claims, finding that they're a bit towards the compost end of the spectrum in general, and consider the reasons why that's the case, that they are so generally difficult. So which types of accident are we not looking at? Firstly, we're not considering slips on premises. If you slipped on premises where the owner or occupier is responsible for keeping the property free from snow and ice, you may have a claim against them under the Occupiers' Liability Scotland Act 1960. In other words, if you slipped and fell on premises and suffered injury, there may well be good scope for a successful claim. Secondly, we're not talking about slips and falls while you're at work. Slips due to snow and ice while at work may be covered by health and safety regulations. There may be reasonable prospects of a successful claim, even if the accident did not occur on property belonging to your employer. If you look on the Murray Claims website for articles about the case of Kennedy against Cordia, those will explain how the law works in relation to these types of accident. The most common scenario, however, for the type of accident we're discussing here is where you've been out in the street, going about your daily business and not at work, and you've slipped and fallen on an untreated icy road or pavement. So that's what we're talking about in this episode. As I say, slips on untreated icy roads or pavements. Of course, the elderly and infirm are particularly vulnerable, and the typical injury, probably a broken wrist resulting from a fall onto an outstretched hand as you try to break your fall, can have life-changing consequences for older folk. What are your chances of being able to claim compensation for your injuries in this type of accident? Well, you remember Alexander Nicholson's manure predicament. You may well be in a lot of difficulty as far as being able to claim is concerned as well. In towns and cities, responsibility for winter maintenance, treatment of roads and footpaths lies with the local authority. In Murray, it's the responsibility of the Murray Council. At just about every public place within Murray, it's up to the council to deal with any snow and ice that may appear there. As you will appreciate, the council has limited and, unfortunately, reducing resources and cannot instantaneously treat snow and ice at every location in its area as soon as it develops. The law requires councils to have a policy for winter maintenance treatment and within that, a hierarchy for treating roads and pavements in their region. As a general rule, roadways are regarded as much more important than footpaths and pavements. This is because a vehicle sliding out of control is more likely to be a lethal weapon than a slipping pedestrian. If there is a fall of snow, the council's gritting lorries will head out to the main roads in their area first of all. They will then cover secondary roads and so on down the order of importance. If more snow falls, they will start again with the main roads. So if there is an extended period of wintry weather, minor roads may only be treated after several days, or never be treated at all before the temperature rises and a thaw takes place. It's important to note from this that footpaths and pavements come far down the list in terms of importance. Pedestrianised areas such as Elgin High Street will have higher priority for winter maintenance treatment than, say, a residential cul-de-sac. It's only in high-volume pedestrian areas that you're likely to have much of a chance of claiming successfully if you're injured as a result of slipping due to the state of the pavement. The irony is that, as a pedestrian, you will probably have better prospects of making a successful claim if you slip on the roadway itself, as opposed to the pavement beside it. We've considerable experience of this type of claim, and a case we ran, and lost, in 2005, is used as an illustration of the difficulty of gaining compensation for the injured person. This is in Ronald Conway's Personal Injury Practitioner Bible, Personal Injury Practice in the Sheriff Court, now in its third edition. The case of Murdoch against the Moray Council concerned a slipping accident which happened on the pavement of Duff Place in Bishop Mill in Elgin. This was in icy conditions just after New Year 2001. That part of Elgin is very much a residential area, though there are shops and a primary school in the vicinity. The sheriff principal found in favour of the local authority, even though the pavement had been left ungritted over the Christmas period for 9 days. He took the view that, even if earlier winter maintenance treatment had been carried out, the weather conditions immediately before the day of the accident would probably have produced fresh ice. What practical protective measures can you take for yourself? If there is snow on the ground outside, it's best to assume that you are responsible for your own actions, and should you slip due to the state of the ground, you probably will not be able to make a claim against anyone for injury compensation, unless you're at work or on premises, or both. Staying at home is unlikely to be a realistic option beyond the short term, and it might be worth investing in crampons of the type mentioned in the case of Kennedy against Cordia, which I referred to earlier in this podcast, or if not crampons, even snowshoes or skis. You don't want to end up in the manure or the snow or the ice. If you're unlucky enough to fall and suffer injury due to slippery conditions in sub-zero temperatures, get in touch with us and we'll see what we can do to help. Each case depends on its own circumstances, so it's always worth asking. All initial inquiries are without obligation and free of charge. In terms of accident investigation, ideally you need to get someone to take photographs of the locus to show it in the condition it was at the time of your fall, or as soon after as possible. We would also need to work out as accurately as possible how long the snow or ice at the locus was lying there before you fell on it. As you will appreciate, these are only things which can be done in the immediate aftermath of an accident of this kind, and where there is any significant delay in a person seeking advice following a slip on ice accident, it can become virtually impossible to get the necessary evidence to decide that there is the basis of a claim. Where you or a friend or relative have suffered injury due to a slip on ice accident and you need help, you can contact me, Peter Brash, or my colleague, Mary Morrison, on 01343 544 077, or you can complete and submit to us a free online claim inquiry form. You can also use the form to ask one of us to call you back to discuss. I hope you've found this helpful, and as I say, it's my intention to have further podcasts dealing with issues of snow and ice accidents in other circumstances as well. Thanks again for listening.